Fate. The fate of you who are listening, of nations, of the world, has often hung upon accident or upon decisions that, made the other way, would have substantially altered the course of human events.
Suppose fate had decreed that President Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived out his fourth term. Would there have been a war in Korea? What if by a stroke of fate the Curies had never discovered radium?
Yes, much depends upon a stroke of fate. And tonight we rewrite history as we present a dramatic conception of what might have happened
if, by a stroke of fate, Queen Marie Antoinette of France had escaped death by the guillotine.
Our story tonight is historically true up to the stroke of fate that changes our story from historical fact to historical possibility. Now may I introduce our narrator for this evening, Mr. Wesley Atty, who will relate our story of Marie Antoinette.
January 21st, 1793, in the Place de la Concorde, the Paris of the French Revolution. And so died by the guillotine Louis XVI, King of France. His wife, Queen Marie Antoinette, and his family were held captive in the forbidding temple prison. But there were many plots hatched by supporters of the royal family to help Marie Antoinette escape from prison and death. And one of them, engineered by a daredevil, the wealthy Baron de Batz, nearly succeeded. Suppose it had. June 1793. We are in the office of Michonnet, inspector of the prisons of Paris. Seated opposite Michonnet and casually munching a chocolate is a man in his early 30s, soberly dressed. On his hat, the cockade of the Republic.
You say your name is Citizen Forget?
Did Major Corte tell you about me, Citizen Michonnet?
Yes, he told me you had a very interesting idea to discuss with me. Your face, I've seen it someplace before.
Oh, I look like any one of a thousand others.
No, it's you I've seen. Forget. Well, it'll come back to me. What do you wish to talk about, Citizen Forget? What are you doing?
You mind, Citizen Michonnet, if I lock the door?
Well?
Citizen Michonnet, I want you to help the Queen escape from Temple Prison.
What? Now, I know when I've seen you before. You're that madman. When Louis was being driven to his execution, you're the one who drew your sword and shouted, "All of you who wish to save their king, join me."
Exactly. Of course, I admit it was a trifle harebrained. After all, the king was surrounded by 8,000 armed men. Still, nothing risked.
De Batz. Ci-devant Baron Jean de Batz.
At your service.
You must be crazy. There are 100 warrants for your arrest.
I know. It is very flattering.
What magnificent impudence. To come to the very inspector of the prisons of Paris, a loyal servant of the Republic, and ask him to help Marie Antoinette escape.
Must you point that pistol at me?
Come with me. I'm going to arrest you.
What? And have it cost you a quarter of a million livres?
Come with... What's this about a quarter of a million livres?
Of course, it's really half a million livres. A quarter of a million now and a quarter of a million after the Queen escapes.
Half a million livres?
The Republic doesn't pay its loyal servants nearly as well, hmm?
Well, we're very badly underpaid. The Republic should appreciate our services more than it does. But no, she couldn't escape.
She could. I have a plan, but your help is necessary.
The military commander of the district, Major Corte, is he?
One of us? Oh, yes. He's being well rewarded. Not as well as you are, of course. He's not quite that important. Well, what do you say, Citizen Michonnet?
Half a million livres. What is your plan?
A few days later, Marie Antoinette, known to the revolutionaries since her husband's execution as Widow Capet, is visited in her closely guarded apartment in the Temple Prison by Simon, the former shoemaker, now member of the town council and of the Paris Commune, one of the committees that rule France, an ardent and incorruptible revolutionary.
Ah, madame, and how are you today?
As well as may be expected, monsieur.
And your sister-in-law, Madame Elisabeth, and your daughter, Mademoiselle Maria Theresa Charlotte, where are they?
They are lying down in the bedroom, monsieur.
I trust they are well. And what are you doing there, Louis?
I'm writing my name, Monsieur Simon. Louis Charles Dauphin.
But you're no longer the Dauphin, the heir to the throne, Louis. France is a republic. Capet is your family name. You should learn to write Louis Charles Capet. I will teach you how.
Monsieur, I am now my son's tutor.
You're a bad teacher, madame.
Monsieur, are you quite finished here?
In a moment, madame.
There is nothing in that desk, monsieur, except my diary.
I'm just doing my duty.
This apartment is searched every day by Monsieur Michonne.
Ah, Citizen Michonne, a fine man, an excellent inspector of prisons, a loyal servant of the Republic. Well, farewell, madame, until next week. Guard.
Yes, Citizen Seymour.
You're a new one, aren't you?
Yes, Citizen. I've just been transferred to duty inside the prison.
Well, now that I'm leaving, see that no one enters this apartment.
No one, Citizen?
No one, excepting Citizen Michonne, of course.
Excepting Citizen Michonne and myself.
What is this, monsieur? Can I not be left undisturbed in my apartment?
Your Majesty.
Will you please leave me? What? Why, you're...
The Bats. Baron Jean de Bats, Your Majesty.
But what are you doing here in that National Guard uniform?
I must speak quickly, Your Majesty. Plans are being made for the escape of you and your family.
Our escape?
Already there is a complete company of your loyal supporters within the prison, disguised as National Guardsmen.
Oh, but how?
By the cooperation of the military command of the district, Major Corté.
You have bribed him?
Richly, Your Majesty. The plan itself, it will be unfolded to you by Citizen Michonne.
Michonne? Do you mean he is also...
Cooperating? Yes. I haven't the time to tell you the details myself, and some of them must still be worked out.
Thank you. To know that there are men who would still risk their lives for their queen is... Thank you, Baron.
I think someone's coming. I must go. Take heart, Your Majesty.
In the offices of the town council of Paris...
Citizen Petion!
Citizen Simon. Look a little worried. What's the matter?
I've just come from my weekly visit to the widow Capet and her son.
Is there something wrong, citizen?
Yes, I smell a plot. I demand an investigation.
Citizen Simon, every week when you return to the town council after seeing the widow Capet and her family, you smell another plot. As mayor of Paris, I order an investigation. We find nothing. Look at this table.
Well?
It's covered with hundreds of demands for investigations of different people. Hundreds of denunciations. Here's an unsigned letter denouncing Robespierre himself.
Hmm.
We cannot spend all our time investigating everything. You, as a member of the town council, should understand.
I do understand,
but... Citizen Seymour, the widow Capet is closely guarded. Her apartment is searched every day by the citizen Michonne. They have spies inside Temple Prison itself, and they've reported nothing suspicious.
Why don't we have her executed? I have nothing against the woman herself, but she's a danger to the revolution as long as she's alive.
You are listening to What Might Have Happened.
If, by a stroke of fate, Marie Antoinette had escaped the guillotine.
Our story has been historically true so far, and will continue to be up to the stroke of fate. From then on, speculation.
It is 11 o'clock, the night of June 21st, 1793, the night of the escape attempt. We're in Marie Antoinette's apartment in Temple Prison.
Mama, it's Monsieur Michonne.
Yes, Louis.
Ah, madame. See, you are wearing your military cloak.
Yes, monsieur.
And your sister-in-law and daughter?
They're inside, dressing.
Madame, you are perfectly acquainted with what you're to do?
Yes, monsieur. At a signal from the Baron de Batz, I, Madame Elizabeth, and my daughter are to leave this apartment. And shouldering muskets?
Yes, where are the muskets, madame?
In the corner, over there.
We are then to join a patrol of soldiers of the National Guard. You are certain they are all loyal.
Every one of them in the patrol is a royalist, completely devoted to you. De Batz has arranged that through Major Corté. Continue, please, madame.
Then, with my son in the middle of the patrol, and with Major Corté at the head of the detachment, we will march to the outer gate of the prison.
The gate will be opened by order of Major Corté himself. And then, madame...
Oh, Baron.
Your Majesty... Allow me to say you are most charming in military dress.
Thank you, Baron. However, I must say it is not something I would select for my own wardrobe.
Well, De Batz,
Corte has distributed the men I recruited so that they are in charge of all the exits. The great gate outside, however, is in charge of one of your men, monsieur, whom we know it is useless to attempt to persuade.
Oh, yes, I know, but...
How much longer must we wait, Baron?
Not too long, Your Majesty. Some of the soldiers who are not with us have their regular duties to perform, and Corte does not want to arouse any possible suspicion by changing their routine. We must wait until they are out of the way.
You have done splendidly, Baron.
Thank you, Your Majesty. The carriage is ready, only a short distance from here. You will be pleased to march to it. Monsieur Michonne, if you please, I would like to converse with Her Majesty in private.
But,
if you please.
You may retire to that room, monsieur.
Very well.
After we get in the carriage, Your Majesty, you and the rest of the royal family will drive with me to a house of mine not too far from Paris, where you will remain for a while.
We will be safe there?
I own it under another name, Your Majesty, and it has not yet been raided by the police. You will remain there until we are able to safely take you over the border to Austria.
Well, whether we are successful or not in this escape, I would like you to know that I will never forget your devotion and your courage. Indeed, I can scarcely find words to tell you of my very deep appreciation.
Thank you, Your Majesty. I must go now. I trust we have but a little longer to wait.
All of you.
Yes, citizen Simon.
A plot. The widow Crepet and her family intend to escape this very night from Temple Prison. A few minutes ago, a gendarme came to my house with this note. It was sent me by a soldier of the National Guard stationed in the temple. He said he and another soldier had gotten drunk together, and this other man had made him suspicious with his loose talk, and then he found out he was a royalist. Here's the note. Read it yourself. And that there were many royalists inside the prison disguised as National Guardsmen. And read for yourself. Citizen Michonne himself is part of it, and...
Citizen Michonne, the inspector of prisons in a royalist plot? Michonne is one of our most trustworthy officials.
True, but...
You yourself have often complimented him. There's never been a breath of suspicion cast upon him before.
All the more reason why the royalists should now make use of Citizen Michonne. No one would suspect them. Citizens, while we waste valuable time, perhaps at this very moment...
It says here that the widow Capet and her family are to be helped in their escape by an entire company of royalists... disguised as members of the National Guard who are now inside the prison. Impossible.
Why impossible?
Citizen Simon, dare you accuse Major Corte, military commander of the garrison of...
No, I did not say that. Corte is an honest man,
so
but...
So is Michonne. We can't waste our time investigating such a ridiculous affair.
Well, maybe you're right, but still, let's not take chances.
No, no.
Citizen, write me a note authorizing me to be in charge of Temple Prison for tonight. Just for tonight. And to bring Citizen Michonne here for questioning.
Well, you're wasting your time, but... All right, Citizen Simon, I'll write you your order.
And in the temple prison...
There in the yard, that's the bat's signal. Madame, all of you, gather your muskets. It's time for us to go downstairs.
Come on, sister. Take your musket, Maria Teresa.
This is very exciting, isn't it, Mama?
Wait. Someone at the outer gate.
Open! Open in the name of the Republic!
Who is it?
I don't know. They'll have to open or arouse suspicion. Go inside and remove those uniforms quickly. I'll hide the muskets.
Open in the name of the Republic!
Who is it? Who's there?
Major Corte. It's me, Citizen Simon. I'm taking over the prison for tonight. Here's my order.
All right. Citizen Simon?
I'm going up to see Citizen Michonne. I would like one of your most reliable men with me.
Of course, Citizen. Private, go with Citizen Simon.
Be careful, Citizen Simon. That stairway is in need of repair.
I know. Follow me.
Someone at the gate.
I know. I've taken care of him. He's locked up in a cell. He won't bother us for a while.
Oh, thank God.
Where's Michonne?
He went back to his apartment. He was afraid to remain in ours.
Majesty, you and your family better put on the military cloaks and hats and the boots. I'll get Michonne. He'll lead you down to the yard where the patrol will be waiting. We have no time to lose.
Here is the patrol, madame.
We're all ready, Your Majesty.
Mama, are we going to the Baron's house now?
Shh, son.
Mouse! Open the gate for the patrol!
Going back.
Quickly.
Major Corte.
Ah, Mayor Pétion.
Citizen Simon arrived at the prison yet. I was wondering if perhaps... Hey, what's this?
Quiet, or I'll kill you. Dismount, quickly.
Quickly.
Jacques, Philippe, carry him into that alley and take the horse. Someone might recognize it.
I believe so, my son.
Halt!
The worst is over. Your Majesty, will you please get into the carriage?
The royal family is driven safely to the Baron de Bat's house not far from Paris, where they remain in hiding for several weeks. Near the end of July 1793, this fantastic baron succeeds in getting the royal family over the border, into Westphalia, Prussia, and then to Austria, where rules Marie Antoinette's nephew, the Emperor Francis. The new Republic of France is already at war with a coalition consisting of Austria, Prussia, Holland, Spain, Sardinia, and England. Realizing that England must be the spearhead of the attack that will eventually place her son, the Dauphin, on the French throne as Louis XVII, Marie Antoinette goes to England, where her visit becomes a series of triumphal processions, culminating months later in an important interview with the British Prime Minister, William Pitt.
Mr. Pitt.
Your Majesty.
I am here to urge upon you your full prosecution of the war against the revolutionary government in my country.
We are already prosecuting the war against the present French government, Your Majesty.
But, Mr. Pitt, the English are now fighting an almost entirely naval war. My advisors inform me that it's necessary that an English army be landed in France.
Your Majesty, that will take an expenditure of much English blood and money.
But, Mr. Pitt, when will this opportunity come again? The leaders of the revolution are fighting among themselves. Added to their natural enmity is their fear of the corruption, the treason, as they call it, that made possible my escape.
I do admit your escape has had a great effect in France, Your Majesty.
It has indeed, sir. The supporters of the royal cause are fighting for us throughout France. If you land a force in one of the Channel ports, with Prussia and Austria attacking from the north and east, and England attacking from the west, you will crush these monsters of the revolution.
It is not quite as easy as all that, Your Majesty. This sort of thing takes time.
Mr. Pitt, restore us to power and we will be England's friend. If you wait, some strong ruler may arise from the French people itself. Some soldier, some general. He will suppress all opposition, unite the people against you, and you will fight a war that will last for years and bathe all of Europe in blood. Mr. Pitt, the time to act is now.
Marie Antoinette's plea has its effect. On April 21st, 1794, 15 months to the day after the execution of her husband, Louis XVI, Marie Antoinette, supported by the victorious armies of the coalition, re-enters Paris, becoming regent of France during the minority of her son Louis. And the French Revolution is a failure.
Ladies and gentlemen, recall, if you will, this scene in the play.
Be careful, Citizen Simon. That stairway is in need of repair.
I know. Follow me.
There was our stroke of fate. And here to explain it is our history consultant, noted author of the books The New World, The Presidency, and Lincoln, A Picture Story of His Life, Stephen Laurent.
In reality, as we all know, Marie Antoinette lost her head under the guillotine on the 16th of October, 1793. But the story of her attempted rescue is an actual one. Baron de Batz did exist, and he was ready to spirit the queen away when Simon, a member of the commune, arrived at the prison. While Simon rushed up the stairs to see Michonne, the head of the prison, Baron de Batz followed him, his mind working in feverish haste. He realized that his plan was about to be wrecked. Should he kill Simon? The stroke of fate was that he hesitated. It was now too late to do anything but shoot. Had he shot, the noise would have aroused the guards who were not involved in the plot. But suppose Baron de Batz had killed Simon and let the queen and her son to freedom. How different French history would be. With Marie Antoinette and the Dauphin alive and outside the country, the coalition against France might have been successful. She and her son might have returned to Paris, just as her brother-in-law Louis XVIII did in 1814, and monarchy would have been restored a decade earlier. There would have been no Napoleon, and the French Revolution might have proved a futile attempt. But Baron de Batz did not kill Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Laurent. We invite you to listen next week to hear what might have happened
if, by a stroke of fate, the young Abraham Lincoln had secured the job he wanted, a position that would have taken him permanently out of the United States.
Featured in tonight's Stroke of Fate presentation were Anne Burr as Marie Antoinette, Peter Capel as the Count de Vance, Joseph DeSantis as Citizen Simon. Others in the cast were Ross Martin, Kermit Murdoch, John Stanley, and David Pfeffer. Your narrator was Wesley Addy. Your announcer is Lionel Rico. Stroke of Fate is produced by Mort and Lester Lewis, conceived and written by Mort Lewis, and it was directed by Fred Way.